Meditation 4.7. Meditation on Suffering. Let us begin our meditation. Preparation. Sit comfortably, relax and calm your mind with breathing. Generate a positive motivation for doing the meditation, such as wishing to better understand suffering, in order to do what is necessary to free everyone, yourself and others, from all problems, pain and unhappiness. There are three aspects of suffering to contemplate. Go through each one as slowly as you like. Don't just make a mental checklist of the points. Bring your emotions and intuition into the meditation. Really feel every example of suffering as if you were experiencing it right now. Pause the recording as often as you need. At the end of those three aspects, there is advice on practical application in your daily life. Aspect 1. The suffering of suffering. This includes all obvious forms of suffering, physical and mental, such as the severe sufferings arising from war, terrorism, natural disasters, famine, violent crime, rape, abuse, imprisonment, poverty, injustice, racism, addiction, injury, and illness. It also includes all the normal, everyday problems your body experiences, aches and pains, heat and cold, hunger and thirst, bad eyesight, poor hearing, headaches and earaches, cuts and burns, weight problems, muscle soreness and tension, fatigue. The list is endless. Recall these experiences and how we are rarely without one or more of them. There may be more extreme kinds of physical suffering that you experienced in the past. Bring these to mind and see the possibility that they could happen again. There is no guarantee they will not. Think of the physical suffering you will experience as you age and when you are old. Picture yourself at the age of 80 or 90. Your body degenerated, wrinkled and not functioning properly. Finally, there is death. Think of the different ways you could die and the suffering of the body then. Contemplate the fact that it is the nature of the body to change. Meet with pain. Degenerate and eventually die. Therefore, it is unrealistic and unwise to be attached to it and to cling to it as me. Now look at mental and emotional suffering. Bring to mind past or present experiences of loneliness, depression, grief, frustration, jealousy, anger, fear, confusion, anxiety. Go back over your life and see that rarely was there a time when you were not experiencing at least some of these emotions. Now look at your state of mind at this moment. Are you anxious? Depressed? Angry? Confused? Agitated? Think of the mental suffering that is likely to come in the future when people close to you die or leave you, when you yourself die, or when the myriad other things occur in our lives that are likely to cause unhappiness to one degree or another. Expand your thoughts to include the experiences of others. At this very moment, all beings in existence, simply because they have a confused mind and a perishable body, are going through some form of mental or physical pain. From the slightest discomfort to the grossest suffering. Start with the people you know. Your friends, relatives and neighbors. Some are sick, some old. Others are depressed, anxious, dissatisfied, lonely. Then think about the people you don't know, whose lives are plagued by war, poverty, unemployment, racism, disease, political oppression. We also share this world with animals and other creatures. Contemplate their day-to-day suffering. Hunger, pain, cold, lack of freedom, fear of being killed. become aware that all of these countless living beings have a stream of consciousness, not so different from your own. We all react with joy to kindness and beauty, with fear to pain and harm, and with anger to whatever threatens the peace of ourselves and our loved ones. We all try to be happy and to avoid problems. But as long as we are unenlightened, we meet with one suffering situation after another. Aspect 2. The suffering of change. This more subtle level of suffering refers to the experiences we normally think of as pleasure or happiness. They are called suffering because they do not last. Every nice experience comes to an end without fully satisfying us or relieving our problems. It leads, instead, to the desire to repeat it, in the hope that we will find the satisfaction we are looking for. Think of any pleasant experience. A nice meal. Sex. A day at the beach. Skiing. Music. A movie. Talking to friends. A beautiful sunset. How long does the pleasure last? Are any of these experiences fully satisfying? If you think they are fully satisfying, then why do you repeat them again and again? Another reason pleasant experiences are considered suffering is because they are not true, pure pleasure. If they were, the pleasure would continue and even increase the more we engaged in them. Is this what happens? Or does the pleasure decrease and even turn into misery? For example, when you are hungry and eat something, at first you feel good because the discomfort of hunger diminishes. But what would happen if you kept eating more and more? You would feel increasingly uncomfortable and may even become sick. And even if you eat just the right amount to be comfortably full, that experience doesn't last. A few hours later, the hunger comes back and you need to eat again. When we get together with friends or family, at first we are happy, talking and laughing, enjoying each other's company. But what would happen if we continued to stay together, hour after hour, day after day, without a break? We would probably become bored, irritated, and might even start arguing. even sitting comfortably in a chair. Eventually, we need to change position because the comfort turns to discomfort. Or sitting by a fire on a chilly day. At first, it is such a pleasure. But soon we must move away because it becomes too hot. Look carefully at your life to see whether or not this is true. Recall some good experiences. Did they last? Did they truly satisfy you? If the pleasure is true pleasure, why doesn't it stay with you indefinitely? Why doesn't everyone enjoy it as you do? Can you think of any example of unchangeable, lasting happiness in your life or in anyone else's? Contemplate how everything changes, how pleasurable experiences do not last, but lead inevitably to dissatisfaction, irritation, boredom, or loneliness. From one point of view, compared to the suffering of suffering, these experiences are pleasant. But from another point of view, compared to the pure, lasting bliss of liberation and enlightenment, these experiences are another kind of suffering. It is the very nature of all things that they change and eventually come to an end. Even a blissful relationship has its ups and downs and will end with separation or death. Beautiful people grow old and grey and eventually die. Power does not last and wealth runs out. Flowers wither, sunsets fade, parties end. Conclude this part of the meditation by firmly deciding that it is not reasonable to cling to any person or object as a means of finding lasting satisfaction, and that instead clinging brings the very opposite result. Aspect 3. All-pervading suffering. This is even more subtle than the suffering of change. It refers to our very existence as ordinary, unenlightened beings, with our mind caught up inextricably in delusions and karma. Although the nature of our mind is clear and has the potential to experience the pure, enduring peace and bliss of enlightenment, we are unable to keep it free of disturbed, unhappy thoughts and feelings, even for an hour or a few minutes. And although we want nothing but pleasant, happy experiences, It's impossible to go through life, or even one day, without experiencing problems. Why is this? Lacking a direct, intuitive insight into the true nature of things, we think, speak, and act under the control of delusions. Our habitual negative tendencies. We are thus in a bind. On the one hand, we experience in every moment the effects of previous karma and delusions. And, on the other, every moment we create the causes for future effects. This very moment of existence is both the effect of past suffering and the cause of suffering in the future. The situation of being stuck in this cycle, this complex web of problems, is itself all-pervading suffering. It can be compared to being in a prison, locked in by our karma and delusions. In prison, there can be terrible experiences like being attacked by other prisoners or sadistic guards. These are like the sufferings of suffering. Sometimes there are pleasant experiences, such as watching a good movie or getting a visit from a loved one. These are like the suffering of change. But no matter what one experiences, pleasant or unpleasant, one is stuck in prison and not free to go where one wants or do as one likes. And this is like all-pervading suffering. Let your mind absorb this idea. Generate a strong feeling for the self-perpetuating dilemma that is your existence. Then contemplate how there are countless living beings caught up in this seemingly endless cycle, just as you are. But don't panic. The situation is not hopeless. There is a way out of this cycle. Just as there is a cause of suffering, our false view of the way things exist, there is necessarily a cause of the end of this suffering, an antidote. The final antidote is to develop the right understanding of the nature of reality, and thus cut through our confusion and our habit of following the ego's whims. In the meantime, we can use our life and energy in positive ways, helping others with love and generosity, and increasing the positive thoughts and attitudes in our mind. And by refraining from negative actions and counteracting harmful attitudes in our mind as they arise, we avoid creating further causes of suffering. As our understanding of reality grows, so too does our detachment from ordinary, transient things, and our web of confusion gradually untangles. Finally, this understanding becomes a direct, intuitive perception of emptiness, which eliminates, once and for all, the very root of suffering. Draw conclusions from any insights you may have had during this meditation. Acknowledging the painful, dissatisfactory nature of life is quite difficult, but it is the only way out. Until we stop running away from the reality of suffering and learn to deal honestly with the rough, unsubdued aspects of our mind, we will continue to circle in confusion. Awareness of suffering gives us the energy we need to penetrate the nature of reality. Thus, conclude your session optimistically, with the determination to use your life skillfully and do what you can to overcome suffering. Dedication. Dedicate all your good intentions and energy to the growth of insight in yourself and all others. You may wish to pause or stop your meditation here. What follows is an idea for practical application in your daily life. Practical application. We have many opportunities in our daily lives to familiarize ourselves with the ideas presented in this meditation. Every day we experience a multitude of troubles, hunger, tiredness, aches and pains, irritation, boredom, frustration. Our usual reaction is to get rid of or bypass these problems as quickly as possible. But before reaching for a painkiller, turning on the TV, checking what's in the fridge, or seeking out a friend, it is a good idea to spend a few minutes just experiencing the pain. So, this is suffering. Because we habitually avoid confronting and dealing with pain, in meditation it is difficult to take a good, honest look at the reality of suffering. We should learn to use our actual experiences, as they occur, to deepen our understanding of the subject. This does not mean that we should regard life as one big tragedy or go around always miserable. We can be aware of suffering and still keep a sense of humor. Happiness and suffering are both impermanent, transitory experiences. We should not emphasize one over the other, but acknowledge the changeable nature of both. So, when we find ourselves grasping unrealistically at a new person or experience in our life, we should remind ourselves that the happiness we're experiencing is transitory and cannot eliminate all, or any, of our problems. With this attitude, which is more realistic and less exaggerated, we will probably enjoy the experience all the more. When there is a problem, physical or psychological, we can think, it's transitory. At some point it will be gone. But problems and suffering will continue to happen to me until I work on my mind and eliminate all causes of suffering. This problem reminds me of the need to look after my actions, refraining from negative karma, and creating positive karma as much as I can. By doing this, each problem becomes a teaching. When people around us are suffering, we should be sensitive and compassionate and help them to the best of our ability. But we should not get so involved that their problem becomes our problem and we grow stressed and worried over it. We can avoid this by recalling that the cause and solution of any problem lie in the mind of the person experiencing it. It's up to them to work their way out of it. As long as we are loving and kind and do whatever we can to ease their pain, we should not feel guilty or inadequate and think we must do more. That is, suffering and problems are not necessarily bad, it depends on our attitude. If we feel averse to them and see them as completely useless and unwanted, we will suffer more. But if we have a more realistic view, seeing them as a natural part of life, we can accept them calmly. In addition, by learning to use them in our path of spiritual growth, we can even feel glad when they occur.